I just thought I'd get my head up. G'day everybody. Haven't been around for a while. I've been a bit overwhelmed and it's really the first time I've had a chance to stick my head up above the mire that's been my life for this last week or so. It's a little bit windy here, sorry about that, but I do have my redhead windsock on, which I got off one documentary, Christian Payne, many years ago when I won a little competition on his side for the reason why I needed to get it off him. So hopefully that's keeping the wind out of the microphone here on my iPhone. But yeah, sorry, I haven't been around for a while and I'm not at all prepared for October. Although I am sort of thinking about contributing a few audio boosts for October this month. But the reason being is my dad's been sick again. He's been crook. And it's just been a very, very busy time for the family dealing with that. It's been a really profoundly interesting experience this time around. It started off at the beginning of last week, last Monday, when he needed to have an injection in his shoulder. A sort of an arthritic-y sort of, you know, breakdown of his shoulder. Yeah, you know, he needed to get a cortisone injection. No big deal. Whipped him in there, got the injection, thought it'd be a day or so, and things would start to get better, and it didn't get better. About 36 hours later, he called me up and got me to come home from work and take him to the doctor again, and the doctor went, you know, we might have a bit of a problem. You need to go to the hospital and get your heart checked out just to make sure things are all right. And they started doing a few tests, and they took a bit of blood, and they went, mate, you got a bit of an infection here. Looks like you got maybe a bit of pneumonia, and, you know, one thing led to another. After many days and blood tests and cultures being grown and yada, 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 what it all came down to is he ended up with septus, bacterial infection in the blood. Bad, bad juju. They whacked him on some intravenous antibiotics, and there was, pretty serious stuff. You know, it's the sort of thing that kills an 80-year-old. But in amongst it all, he was still getting quite a bit of pain, quite a bit of discomfort, and this is where it got really, really scary for those of us around him. They gave him medication. Now, Dad is, he might be 80 years old, but he is completely functional. You know, he will argue politics and, you know, global warming and all sorts of issues. You know, he's completely on it. He's sharp. He doesn't have dementia. He doesn't have anything. He might be a bit of a cranky old bugger at times, but, you know, I know cranky 20-year-olds. So that's not any, he doesn't have any of those sort of issues. But I think there's a bit of a prejudice amongst a lot of people that once you've got a full head of grey hair, you're probably not quite as sharp as a lot of other people, especially if your hearing's a little bit crook and you have a bit of trouble hearing people when they mumble, or if they happen to be an ethnic nurse or doctor, so they don't explain themselves quite well. And he seemed maybe to be a little bit, you know, off being 100% totally mentally functioning. Anyway, that leads into other things, because what they did is they went, you got any pain, buddy? You know, he went, yeah, I'm doing it pretty tough here. And they went, okay, we'll give you a couple of tablets. They didn't go very far. And then they eventually went, okay, we'll give you some morphine. They gave him a couple of doses of morphine, and then they gave him another painkiller called fentanyl. And he went off with the fairies. What's really scary about it is it wasn't just a happy place that he went to. It was a place with a little bit of fear, confusion, delusion. He was seeing things. He told me some of the things he was experiencing, and they weren't things of this world. Not a good thing at all. Anyway, one thing led to another, and after a couple of days, by Saturday morning, I got a phone call in the early hours of the morning saying, come and get me, bring the police and bring the ambulance, you know. And he was completely off his tree, off his nut. My sister came up from Sydney and on Saturday, and we had Dad at home because he checked himself out, didn't he? He was still on IV antibiotics. He still wasn't better. But these damn drugs they gave him blew his brain out. And because he's an old bugger, they didn't necessarily see the difference that we know between a very functional older person and somebody who wasn't functioning right. They just saw somebody who was old and cranky and, yeah, maybe a little bit odd, but nothing different much from the way they were when they first arrived, maybe, because they didn't really know how to assess him. They do these things, and I don't know if you've been there, dear Audio Boo listener, where you go into hospital and they say, so, what's your name? What's your phone number? What's your address? And they keep hitting you with all these really simple questions that you've got to answer and be functional, and you've got to be on the mark. And if you're having trouble hearing what they're saying, you might have to ask again. You do that too many times, and they start looking at you sideways. If they ask you what day of the week it is, sure, today's Tuesday. Yeah, but I'm not a bloody pensioner where every day of the week's the same. It's real. What's the date today? Hey, most of the time I don't know what the friggin' date is. And if you're a pensioner, it doesn't really matter. All these biases, you know, are very ineffectual, I think. And once you've been asked your name and your date of birth and your address 40 or 50 times over a week, you start getting pretty damn jack of it. And eventually, in the end, in these last couple of days, Dad's been throwing it at them. The moment they start, he turns around, he throws it back at them. He goes, so what's your name? How old are you? What's your date of birth? Where do you live? Da, 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 da. And he'll throw it back at them. Unfortunately, they don't necessarily realise he's taking the piss. And that's how sharp he is. But yeah, anyway, go back in the story. He ended up on this medication and he was away with the ferry and he checked himself out. Major problem. The doctors were on to us saying, hey, you've got to get him back here. 24 hours later, my sister convinced him that he ought to go back to the hospital and get himself sorted out, which was a great thing. She did a great job. And it was partly because he came off that drug. He had like 48 hours off that drug and he was getting his mental acuity back. It was all good. Went back to the hospital, had another 48 hours of antibiotics. They checked him out. He's doing okay. They found where the infection's come from. That's going to require some continual management. That goes back to the previous issues when he went to hospital last year and the year before. Part of the aging problem. It's just the way it is. Life sucks when you get to that age sometimes. But it's been really, really tough. My sister's had to come up from Sydney away from her family for a few days, and she'll hang around for another couple of days and get Dad settled. I've been running backwards and forwards from the hospital, and I've lost several days' work. And it's been pretty tough. It's been pretty tough. But the toughest of all has been watching the decline of somebody and start to see the stress that it puts us all under. And I've sort of thought, you know, as the Buddhists say, there's only three things in life you can be certain of: old age, sickness, and death. And part of the problem with this human existence of ours is they're pretty well certainties. We're all going to get old, we're all going to get sick, and we're all going to die. Variations of it. Sometimes you die a bit young and stuff like that. But I thought, how can I do my best so that in 27 years' time, when I'm my father's age, 80, and I might be signing up for some of these issues, how can I make it so that my daughter doesn't have to go through the great deal of stress that accompanies old age, sickness, and death? And I thought, I owe it to her. Not to me, I owe it to her to look after myself. I owe it to her to keep my body fit and healthy, to eat well, to exercise. I owe it to her to keep my mind functioning, to continue to learn new things, to extend my mental skills, to continue to embrace life and consume it and use it and have wonder and joy in my life so I'm happy. I owe it to her to live a good life. And I don't mean to be at all selfish in saying this. By me living a good life, it means that I can maybe achieve the goal that I'm after. And that goal is really simple. I want to be having a great life and to be no burden to anyone until as close to the end as I possibly can. I know I'm going to die, but maybe in the last hour that I'm alive, that's when I will finally become old and I will finally become ill and I will die healthy in that last gasp of my breath. And in doing so, I won't be a burden to her and put her through the stress that we've been through just recently. One of the reasons I want to do that for my daughter is because she's an only child. I've got a sister. There was once three of us, now there's two of us, but at least I've got a sister and we were able to share this. We were able to do tag team to be able to look after my father. But my daughter's an only child and she's got two parents to see out one day. And I owe it to her, and I owe it to her maybe future children to do similar also for them. To go out a healthy old man when it's my time to go. That's probably the thing I've got out of this most of all, this rather stressful week that we've just been through. I'm glad it's over. Dad went home today. My sister's with him at the moment. And he's settling back into a healthier life again. I'm so glad it's over. At least for the moment.